Section 1.9. Some bookkeeping. Before we go any further, there are a few details I want to highlight. First, I want to state from the outset, my prime intent and purpose is to accurately display nothing but the truth inside the pages of this book. Everything I have written here, I earnestly believe to be accurate. I have spent a considerable amount of time doing the necessary research, ensuring the information is the best I can present to you. Am I going to steadfastly state, there are absolutely no errors within these pages? No. That would not be realistic. While it's a worthy goal, I would be a fool to make such an appraisal of the actual work. I have relied on others to supply much of the background, which I have used to color in the examples included herein. Error-free documents belong within the realm of God Almighty. As for the prime message of the book, I stand firmly behind it without reservation. We are near in time to the end of this age. Of that fact, there can be no reasonable doubt. God has made his case abundantly clear. It's as solid and unimpeachable as anything can be. During the gathering of the facts of evidence for use in this book, my effort was to try to use only three primary references. In the vast majority of my research, I made use of 1. The Holy Bible, 2. The Dictionary, 3. The Wikipedia Encyclopedia. This was done for one reason: I didn't want to use any references which you would not have easy access to. Remember, I want you to be able to investigate everything written here, using your own intellect. The reality is, no one can force you to believe something you don't wish to accept as truth. So, you should never allow someone else to tell you how to think. But, in the living of our daily lives, this is not what happens. We all allow ourselves to be swayed by those among us who have a hidden agenda. Those wanting to deceive are many in number. Charlatans, scam artists, swindlers, frauds, and cons are commonplace in society. If you are wise, you will ever be on watch for such persons. That's why I want you to fact-check any information presented here, seeming weird or off-kilter. I have made it as easy as possible for you to verify anything I have written. The Bible is an obvious choice for a reference source. After all, it is God who placed his warnings within the Bible. I have done enough study to know, without any doubt, the Bible is the word of God himself. I have included all the Bible verses referenced, fully reproduced within each page it appears. The only exception is when full, lengthy passages or chapters are quoted. In this case, you will need to look them up using your Bible. Just so you know, I am mostly using the New American Standard, NAS, version of the Holy Bible. All versions of the Holy Bible are perfectly well suited for the task. I chose the NAS based entirely on my personal preference. I would prefer you look up each biblical reference using your Bible. This will accomplish two things. It will prove I didn't change or alter the meaning of Scripture to fit my purposes. Second, it will get you into God's Word. That can never be a bad thing, right? Please do so, it's your only protection from being scammed or conned. I chose to use the dictionary due to the fact language can be complicated, owing to the different meaning of words. I want the words used in the Bible to be clearly understood. As you will soon see, I make frequent use of the dictionary. Any word I have looked up will be highlighted. The definition for the word will be in italics. Also, I am using a version of the Bible having the original language included. For the books of the Old Testament, it'll be Hebrew or Aramaic. For the New Testament, Koine Greek is the language it was written in. Frequently, I will include the original word along with its definition. That way, you can see firsthand what the writers of the Bible actually penned. Let me assure you, there is much more meaning in the Word of God when you study it in this manner. As an example, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the verse reads, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The word for God is Elohim, and means the one true God. Simple enough, right? Until you discover the word itself is plural. What the Bible is telling us, right from the start, is while there is only one God, he is revealed in more than one person. See? I told you there was a good reason for using a dictionary. If you are reading a colorized version of this text, I have highlighted all definitions in blue, with the associated definition being shown in purple font. All biblical text will be in light blue. Again, this is to add clarity to the text. The Wikipedia Encyclopedia was selected for it being a multilingual, web-based, Free content encyclopedia, available to any person who has access to the internet. All three references are available to nearly every person on the planet. They are also the least likely to cause dispute. I am aware, there are those who don't accept any version of the Bible. I ask that you go ahead and read the verses anyway. The NAS is new enough, and written in modern English, so it is easily understood. For those who will at the least read and consider the Bible, they will have minimal language difficulty. I want the focus on the book to be on the subject matter, and not on some controversial author or questionable source. I want you to be able to discover every fact using these three common sources. There is an additional reason why I chose the particular encyclopedia I did. The name Wikipedia is a combination of words, wiki, a type of collaborative website, and encyclopedia. Wikipedia is written collaboratively by volunteers from all around the world. Since its creation in 2001, it has grown rapidly into the largest website, attracting over 700 million visitors annually. There are more than 75,000 active contributors, working on more than 10 million articles, in more than 250 languages. Every day, hundreds of thousands of visitors from around the world make tens of thousands of edits to enhance its collective knowledge. Thus, any information which is placed there can be challenged by any of the readers. Each and every reader is a potential editor. But remember, those who contribute also bring with them their supporting references. Wikipedia has hot links to those references wherever possible. So, one can investigate any claim with a click of a mouse. But Wikipedia is not the Wild West either. There are administrators who are there to protect the content of the website. And for extreme cases, there is an arbitration committee. But it's still the responsibility of the collective readers and users to keep the content accurate and correct. Thus, the pool of information is being constantly updated and scrutinized by the entire literate world. No system is perfect. But I feel this collection of material is the most open and the least likely to become slanted due to the ability for anyone to challenge any of the information. When you see an endnote number, I have primarily included the Bible references, along with a few other citations, which were not encompassed within Wikipedia. Every other fact within this manuscript came from either Wikipedia, the dictionary, or some source I deemed to be common knowledge. I did not annotate those items, as they can be readily looked up using the internet. Also, I wanted to keep the number of footnotes to a minimum, to keep the text as clean as possible. Finally, I have never contributed to Wikipedia, nor ever issued a challenge to any part of it. As a reference, it remains completely separate from me at the time of the publication of this book. Things may change, as people read this book and elect to go in and improve the overall knowledge base. But as of this moment, there's no connection between this author and Wikipedia. Anytime I mention God, whether I say he, him, or the Almighty, I capitalize the word. That way, there's no doubt as to who I am talking about. The version of the Bible I use does the same thing. I view it as a sign of respect, as well as providing some additional clarity to the text. Also, any biblical prophecy will be numbered the first time it appears within the text. For example, did you see the words in brackets, led by a P with a number, in the last section? That's how I highlight God's prophecy. It may have already been fulfilled, or it may be prophecy yet to happen. I denote both cases in the same manner. Each prophecy will have the verse footnoted as to where the prophecy is located in Scripture. This is what forms the chain of evidence. This helps with recognition and identification. When God predicts some event or happening well ahead of time, its fulfillment is the proof. And we are not talking about small, insignificant events, unknown to history, or difficult to verify. God's predictions are miracles in every sense. History records them. It's the same with the coming events. Each prophecy should serve as a wake-up call. And finally, each word I define will be highlighted with the definition in italicized font. All of this provides clarity to the text. I say all of this by way of reminder, you are judge and jury over your very own fate. I strongly urge you to choose most wisely. I suggest you read all the way through the entire book first, for overall content. The second time you read it, do it with an eye for fact-checking. Make notes in the margins of this book, and in your Bible. It will be far more comprehensible when you study each chapter. I have attempted to break the book down into major points, using individual chapters. Each chapter is then composed of a collection of related topics, contained in sections. One final note. When I began this effort, I fully expected this book to be solely about dates and events. As I worked on it, I quickly began to see God had other plans. The book has grown to become much more than that. The foundation for the proof involved putting a lot of history into the work. As a result, the length of the material quickly outgrew what could economically be placed inside a single volume. The fact is, there will be future volumes. You are reading the first. Additional volumes will be put out as soon as they are finished. This volume is focused primarily on how mankind got to where we are now. The prophetic dates laid out before you form a grid spanning human history. It lists three soon coming prophecies affecting primarily Israel. But their fulfillment before the eyes of the world should be seen as nothing short of miraculous. This volume also discusses the general and specific signs which clearly mark this time as the end. This book forms the foundation upon which the coming volumes will rest. The facts tell a story which up until now has largely been a hidden one. Later volumes will go into the detail of the final years, including the tribulation itself. It covers the remaining time right up until the very last day of this age. Speaking of being finished, you don't have as much time as you think you do. So, make the time now to discover the truth. And, do it while there is yet time available. You need to decide what the truth is, and do it today. Carefully scrutinize the evidence God has laid out before you. Decide if what you see is real, or an elaborate ruse. Only you can decide for yourself. May God bless you on your journey to discovering the truth. May He lead and guide you in your search for knowledge and honest facts. With that having been said, let's get going. When you're ready, you can proceed on to Chapter 2, Building Blocks. It can be located on page 24 of your book. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button on your browser to return to the table of contents page. Then click on Chapter 2 entitled, Building Blocks. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for Chapter 2 Overview, labeled 2.0, Building Blocks.